Hey, I'm Matt Whitman, and welcome to the 10-Minute Bible Hour podcast. This is the audio version of what is natively a video format program. You can get that at YouTube under the 10-Minute Bible Hour or at thetmbh.com. Here we go.
When you first get to know somebody, you do the thing where you kind of spin in circles and sniff each other's backsides a little bit to figure out if the other one's a threat. But once you get past that, and someone passes the initial sniff test, you're like, well, I really want to get to know this person. A lot of times what you'll discover as they unpack the great big story of their lives is that there are these watershed moments that are very important and defining to them. And they'll get to a place of comfort with these moments where they'll use phrases like before the accident, or after I got married, or before Dad passed away, or after I got the new job, because it's almost as though life changed so dramatically on that singular incident that you need to think of them as two different epochs, two different eras, in order to properly communicate the grand story of life. And in this way, we are a lot like history. You look back at the big story of human history, and it seems like there are just a few things that happened that rewrite everything, either on a small local scale, or in the case we're going to talk about today, on a great, big, grand, global scale. And so it makes sense that if we do this intuitively in our own lives when we tell our story, that we would also have a watershed moment in history that we would break down and measure time off of. It especially makes sense when you consider the fact that we don't know how long history has been going on. There isn't really a neat, tidy starting date that we can point to. So mathematically and structurally, it kind of makes sense to just pick an epoch, pick a really important thing that happened, and just start counting backwards from there and forwards from there as we move on in history. Well, for the longest time, the initials that we've used to describe this are BC, before Christ, and AD, which does not actually mean after death. I thought that for a very long time and repeated things like that in official capacities for quite a while until someone pointed out to me it means Anno Domini, which is year of our Lord. But you're paying attention to the world and you've noticed that there's a new pair of initialisms that are used to signify the part of history that counts backwards and the part of history that counts forwards. And those are BCE and CE, or before the Common Era and Common Era. Now, I know there are all kinds of questions that can go along with this about, you know, is this an agenda thing? Do people want to root Jesus out from history and rewrite everything? I think there are a lot more considerations than that. So rather than doing a video where we get worked up about pitting one side against the other, let's just step back, look at the big story of history, and just consider, how do we count years? How have people counted years in the past? And what makes sense for how we're going to count years moving forward. I'm Matt, this is the 10-Minute Bible Hour. Let's talk about BCAD stuff. So if we're trying to make sense of how we count years and how we name epochs, I think a good place to start is by looking at the Judeo-Christian tradition, which, whether you're into it or not, has cast a very long shadow over the history of the West and the larger world in general. So we start with the Jewish people, the Hebrew people, the Israelites. You go all the way back to the oldest parts of the Old Testament, and I don't know how they were counting. Maybe it was off of the number of years that a certain very old patriarch had been alive, but we get a clearer sense of how they counted after the Exodus. This is when the Hebrew people made their way out of Egypt, maybe 1400-ish, 1200-ish BC. And from there, it looks like that watershed moment was a new counting up moment for time. It's still a little bit hazy, but it becomes much more clear when those people go and found a new Israelite monarchy. With Saul, and then David, and Solomon, and then things split into two separate kingdoms, a north and a south, and they've got a whole bunch of kings, and it looks like history is measured as the third year of the reign of King David, the second year of the reign of King Hezekiah, and so on and so forth, all the way up to, 586 BC is when the last remnants of that kingdom are finally toppled at the hands of Nebuchadnezzar. And from there, I assume that some would have clung to another epoch moment after that exile, But I assume that people just operated off of the Babylonian rendering of years and then later the Persian rendering of years, because you're living there, you're doing business, and even one of the prophets in the Bible told them, like, go there, plug in, live your life there, do well, and God won't forget about you. So if they followed that instruction, there was probably a lot of conceptualizing of time that was borrowed from that other culture. But under the Persians, the Jewish people are allowed to return and govern themselves to a certain extent, and it looks like that might be another epoch by which they would have begun to measure time. But before that can really get off the ground, along comes Alexander the Great in the late 300s BC. He just conquers everything, disrupts the entire flow of the whole ancient world, resets everything, and leaves behind a patchwork set of empires, one of which is called the Seleucid Empire. And the Hebrew people, the Jewish people, adopt the beginning year, which I think is 311 BC, of that Seleucid Empire as a new epoch for counting. And so moving forward from 311, we count all the way up to 70 AD as a moving forward timeline for that epoch of Jewish history. Now, 70 AD is an important year for them because that's the year the Romans destroyed the temple. Titus and Vespasian had a big campaign against the people there, and the temple gets completely wrecked. And so we know that from 70 AD on, we're talking about a new epoch that goes all the way into the Middle Ages that is counted moving forward after the destruction of the temple. Put a pin in that one, because we got to come back there to explain why we do BC and AD. So what happens is in the 1100s, you've got this Jewish scholar named Maimonides, and it's so many Maimonides, so I might be screwing that up. I'm pretty sure it's Maimonides. And this guy stands on the shoulders of scholars who've come before him and creates a rendering for time that suggests that the creation of the world completed on Saturday night, October 6th, 3761 BC. That is literally day one of all of the history of creation and existence. And so he creates a new calendar that simply starts on that day and counts forward. And over all of this time, the Jewish New Year shifted from spring to fall, and a whole lot of moving parts happened. But I'm recording this video in 2019 AD, but the Jewish people would call 29 AD 5779 AM, Anno Mundi, or Year of the World, I guess is the way you would put it. Well, obviously, that's not what most of us do. So somewhere back there along the way, we started rendering things and counting them differently. Well, this happened right around the time of Jesus, and obviously the Roman Empire are the people in charge at that time, and the Romans had a lot of opinions about calendars and how things ought to be. The Romans began dating their history from 753 BC, the founding of Rome, and they had counted forward all the way into the time of Julius Caesar, who was on the scene and significant in the 60s, 50s, and 40s BC. Am I getting that right? I think that's right. So here's what happens. In 44 BC, Julius Caesar institutes these calendar reforms, tries to make something that's more sustainable. It's a crazy weird year in terms of how it's calculated. And for the first time ever, January 1st becomes the new year. And we start to render dates a little bit differently. Now, at this point, the Romans still would have been counting backwards to the first date, the founding of the Roman Empire. And when Jesus shows up on the scene, probably around 4 BC, everybody would have been calculating dates in one of two ways. They either would have been on the Jewish Seleucid epoch calendar, counting forward, so they would have been in year, like, I don't know, 307 or something like that. Or they would have been counting in the Julian method, and they would have been in year 7, I don't know, you're smart at math, add it all up. 7-something-something. Then Jesus comes along. You've heard of him. It was a big deal. Whether you're a fan of Jesus or not, or agree with anything about him, or even if you don't think he existed, which I think is kind of silly, history points to that pretty firmly, no matter what you think about it, it was the watershed moment in the history of the West. We see government and religion and philosophy and conception of self and conception of family and the role of church. Everything changes moving forward from that moment. Rome, the most powerful empire, the caretaker of planet Earth at that point, changes moving forward. Now, it's not like Jesus dies on the cross, and then he's resurrected, and the church happens, and 6 months later, somebody's like, we should start renaming all the years. Well, that wouldn't have worked at all. The Romans would have viewed that as very threatening, and they just would have killed even more Christians than they actually killed. So this isn't an immediate change, and in fact, Christians actually arrive at a very different way of rendering years for themselves before we get into the whole AD-BC thing that you and I are used to. In the 3rd century, there was a Roman dictator, a Roman emperor, named Diocletian, who carried out a really ugly set of empire-wide persecutions against the Christians. And so Christians in northern Egypt, in Alexandria, started to actually count up from the beginning of those persecutions, which is a really morbid, weird way to do it. And the Coptic Christians, another brand of Egyptian Christianity in that era, they started counting up the same way. And then a couple hundred years later, there's this guy named Dionysus who's like, I don't really want to keep counting years based on one of the most horrible enemies of Christianity. Why we have his name in our years. Like, that's stupid. You know whose name that we should put in our years for Christians is Jesus Christ of Nazareth, the guy for whom our religion is named. And so he does some math and renders it out so that Jesus would have been born in his brain in about 1 AD, or I assume that's what he thought. Now, given a little more time to think about this and review stuff and look at it, it would seem that Jesus, once again, was probably born 3 or 4 BC. But whatever the case, it's real, real close. And so henceforth, this idea that we are in a year of our Lord, a new epoch, AD Anno Domini, is something that starts to catch on in Christian circles. But the funny thing is that by the time Dionysius is writing, kind of everything is Christian circles. Constantine declared Christianity a legal tolerated religion in 314 AD with the Edict of Milan. A couple of emperors later, a guy named Theodosius declared Christianity the official religion and then behaved like an idiot trying to enforce it. Not a good idea to do this. Not a good idea. But whatever the case, Rome is becoming really, frankly, hyper-Christian at this point. And so it catches on and it gains some traction and currency in political thought or renderings. And all of a sudden, it spreads around what's left of the empire. And I think it's in the 700s. I think it's the 700s. The Venerable Bede, the guy from England, who's like their legendary historian, he not only adopted the AD thing, but he also adopted the BC thing. Well, we need something to call the years that we now count backwards from there. It doesn't work to have like, well, we'll do the Roman rendering up to here, and that counts up, and then we'll just count up again. We'll just count forward, and we'll count backwards, and that should account for everything. And so the BC-AD dichotomy is really in place at that point. So going into the Middle Ages, this is just how we do things. So there's another series of reforms. They're called the Gregorian reforms. We won't get into that right now. And well, I don't know, 700, 800, 900 years worth of time get dominated by BC AD. But we start to see in the writings of Johannes Kepler the beginning of some variant abbreviations for that same pivot point, Jesus' birth, but with just a different way of describing it. And some people start to use the term the Vulgar Era, or, well, Vulgar now means like swears and stuff. Back then it meant common. Oh, I see what's happening here. Now, some people will start to refer to the post-Jesus thing as the Christian era, the age of the church. But eventually what happens is we just see it pick up momentum in the 1600s, the 1700s. By the 1800s, you're even starting to see the common era, Christian era language being used interchangeably with AD, BC. Even in some Christian writing, there's a Catholic encyclopedia in the early 20th century that employs that language. And nobody, or almost nobody at that time, seems like they would have been the type that were trying to rebel against Jesus and Christianity. Like, so many of these people, at the bare minimum, held Jesus in high regard, and nobody could argue that that watershed moment is, you know, before the accident, after kids. It is that pivot moment in the story of human history. As we get into the 20th century, and go through like the ugly, weird stuff that we went through in the 20th century, the human mindset does start to change. We see atheism in the public square, or just healthy skepticism in the public square. And especially starting in the 80s and 90s, I'm old enough to have, you know, seen this change really start to get momentum. You just don't see the ADBC thing as much. And now it looks like it's a point where it's about 50-50, where you will see BC AD or BCE before the Common Era, CE Common Era. Now, for some people, this has become an issue of cultural significance. There are church groups who've dug in their heels and said, we're not doing the BCE CE thing. That's an abomination. It's wrong. It's screwed up. We're against that. I mean, maybe they didn't use those words, but you get the gist. There have also been some progressive groups who would be, you know, would express out and out offendedness over using BC and AD. So what gives? What, does this even matter? Does it affect anything? Is it some kind of slight to Jesus? Is it a rewriting of history? Is this the same thing as, you know, pulling sculptures down of people we don't like? Or is this just a common sense move as the world becomes more global? Well, guess what? It's time for some opinions from me. And these matter because I bought a camera and a tripod and a microphone, and I started putting videos on the internet, which makes me very authoritative and important. The point is, take this with a grain of salt. Okay, here's the deal. I'm going to continue to say BC and AD because my area of specialization is stuff that involves Jesus and the Bible and theology and church history. So it seems entirely appropriate for my subject matter that I would use that language. But I don't know. What if you're somebody who doesn't believe any of this stuff and you really are trying to use some kind of global terminology that, in an age where we're all connected through the interwebs and we can all share our research and work together, you're trying to use terminology that makes it easy to cross cultural boundaries and religious boundaries. I mean, I don't know, how excited would you, maybe if you're a Christian, be about having to try to memorize dates that are rendered based on Muhammad or Buddha or something else? And I'm not trying to pick at those religions and just say they're bad. I'm just saying we all kind of like what we're used to. And this just happens to be one of those things where Christianity won big time. Christians got to decide what the years would be called forever. Well, that's pretty cool. So even if we call it BCE and CE, like, hey, Christians, you don't have to freak out that much because it's still the same watershed moment. And even by acknowledging that this is 2019, everyone is tacitly agreeing to the fact that the Jesus thing was a really big, important moment in history. And I think that's kind of a fun thing to have baked in. At the same time, and on the list of things that I really want to pick a fight about, you know, over this is very low. I will say it the way I say it because of the subject matter that I cover, but also when I'm in other circles and working with people who aren't interested in the subject matter that I cover, I don't think it's an unchristian, screwed up, liberal, leftist, progressive, communist thing to use terms like BCE and CE. So hopefully that is a helpful overview to explain the story of this little controversy or evolution or whatever you would like to call it. There is so much more to know and dig into about the history of calendars and renderings of years. And if anything, it was just really hard for me to keep my mouth shut and not try to dig into all of that because it's fascinating. So you might have fun tearing into more of that yourself. Either way, I hope this was interesting. I hope you learned some stuff. I certainly learned some stuff putting it together. I say DBC, UCBC, CE, and I think we can get along just fine.
I'm Matt Whitman. This has been the 10 Minute Bible Hour podcast. The 10 Minute Bible Hour podcast is taken straight from the audio of my 10 Minute Bible Hour YouTube program. You can find that with a cursory Google search or by going to the 10minutebiblehour.com.